sorry, you can stand, please. We come to celebrate God's presence among us. We come to follow Jesus, who leads us to new life. We come to listen to the Holy Spirit who calls us forth. You know, this hymn was written by Charles Wesley, and he had a bout with pleurisy. Is that how you say that? Pleurisy? And in that struggle in his health, he really started to doubt God. And John also fell ill. And the body of Christ came and just really ministered to him and helped take care of him. And in that, he found a renewal of his faith. And in that renewal, he wrote this song. So, oh, for a thousand tons to sing. Saints who have exempted those who have gone before us. May we forgive those whom we did not have the opportunity to forgive. May we know that we are forgiven for our own sins. May we know that we are loved by the same God from this life into eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ, who lived, who died, and who lives eternally. Amen and amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. some are mine, and some of yours. May mine fall away. And Lord, may we grab hold of something in our hearts and our minds that can give us encouragement, that can spark new life, something we can hold on to, which is you. Thank you. Amen. That was really powerful, you guys, saying those names and then reading the verse, they in glory shine. Amen. Wow. Well, this morning, I'm going to talk about attitudes toward one another from Scripture. I was in youth ministry for 30 years, and we would take mission trips. And we didn't just go on a mission trip. We would take months, and we would prepare. And this is a study I would go through with them. What does Scripture say how we treat one another? And it was really a powerful time to take these truths in and then be able to walk them out, especially when we were most frustrated, most tired, most hot from working so hard. And so these have just a real special place in my heart. And the first one another is love. John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you." This verse needs to echo the character of Christ's love. This isn't just a warm, fuzzy feeling of love. As we read in Romans 12:17-21, it says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." I remember one time being in the car with my daughter, my oldest daughter, Kelsey, and we were going into the Steak and Shake line. And we were pulling up, and as we were pulling up, we got in right before another car. Well, that other car was not happy with us at all. They were honking. They rolled down their windows. They were yelling obscenities to us. They were flipping us off, you know. And I'm like ready to get out of the car and give them a piece of my mind. My daughter says, "Mom, no, no." And I'm like, "Okay." So we go through the line. And she says, "I want to pay for the car behind me." And they got a lot of food, and she paid for it. And that act of kindness was so disarming, because you know what? It wasn't this anymore. It was, "Thank you." And I thought to myself, I've just experienced the gospel. Repaying evil with kindness. And that's radical to us today. But you think about Jesus. What did Jesus do in his last hours? He washed the disciples' feet. He served them. It says in John 13, "After washed their feet, had put on his robe, and reclined again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set an example that you should do as I have done." Conquer evil by doing good. Oh, how he loves you and me. So the first one is to love. The second one is to accept one another. Romans 15:7 says, "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Have you ever felt rejected or like an outcast? Maybe rejected in a relationship. Maybe rejected in a community. Don and I were watching a documentary of King Charles. And King Charles felt very neglected by his father. And his mother was not real warm towards him. And the documentary kind of shared how he struggled with that. And as I'm watching, it reminded me of Psalms 27:10. "Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close." Without seeing the depths of sin, we'll never understand the height of God's love and grace. And someone who experienced that was Paul. In 1 Timothy 1:15, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." God accepted Paul where he was at. And praise God, when he accepts us, he doesn't leave us there. It is a daily work. So to love one another, to accept one another. The next one is honor one another above yourselves. Romans 12:10 says, "Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring one another." December 1772, in Olney, England, at the age of 47, John Newton began writing the hymn, "Amazing Grace." This song is about Newton's conversion. Newton's life career began by searching throughout the African coast for slaves to capture and eventually to sell for profit. On one of the journeys, his crews encountered a storm. Many men drowned, and Newton cried out to God, "Lord, have mercy on us." After 11 hours of steering the crew, they found safety with the calming of the storm. From that day on, he did not venture out to seek more slaves. He began to learn Hebrew and Greek. Newton was eventually ordained and began to lead his own church. He became an advocate in Scripture. This comes from Romans 14:13. Stop judging. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. Mother Teresa always said, if we are judging people, we aren't loving them. There was a story of a king, and he did checks on the people to see what their needs were. He would dress down so people wouldn't recognize him. And as he and his servant were walking, they saw a man lying on the side of the road who was dead. And everybody was walking around him. Nobody was assisting to help. They were stepping over him. And the king said, what is going on? Why will nobody help this man? And the people in the community said, oh, this man is a bad man. He deserves to be there. He's a very, very bad man. But he didn't leave it with that. And he picked him up. And he found the man's wife. And he said, people in the community are telling me that your husband was a very bad man. And she said, oh, he was such a good man. She said, he would buy alcohol, and then he would pour it down the drain, hoping it would lighten the burden of an alcoholic. He would go to a prostitute, pay full price, and ask her to shut the door so she could have a night of peace. He would praise God that there was a night that he was able to lighten the load of the woman, or possibly even the man, that came to pay. People used to see him going into those places, but he was going in to help. He was going in to be a light. And he was going in for love. We cannot be judging. We don't know. The next one comes from Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. I looked up the definition of humble, and it said not regarding others as inferior. Gentleness. Someone who is gentle wants to help others, even when they have been done wrong. I want to read just a few things on proud people versus humble people. Proud people will focus on the failures of others. Humble or broken people are overwhelmed with a sense of their own spiritual need. Proud people have a critical fault-finding spirit. Look at everyone else's fault with a microscope, but their own with a telescope. Humble people are compassionate and can forgive much because they know how much they've been forgiven. Proud people feel confident in how much they know. But humble people will be with others and feel worthy of honor. Humble people compare themselves to the holiness of God and feel a desperate need for His mercy. And proud people don't think they need revival, but they're sure that everybody else does. Humble people continually sense their need for a fresh encounter with God and for a fresh filling of His Spirit. This is what the church can be. I found a short little paragraph from a youth pastor named Sean Smith. And these were his words. Church is more than just a meeting. Church is all about being a community where inspiration to do greater good takes place, where deeper love is explored, where enriching relationships occur, where authentic living is the goal. Church is supposed to be a community where individuals are cared for, where gifts are used effectively, and where people are challenged to grow beyond themselves. So these words taken from Scripture that were written to the church, maybe we be a church of God's grace to, number one, love one another in the same way I have loved you. That is a challenge. Accept one another. And praise God that God accepts us as we are, but never intends to leave us there. To honor one another, it's an act of our will to choose to see people simply as wildly loved by God, to assume their beauty before guessing their depravity. And to be humble and gentle with one another. Deny your weakness, and you will never realize God's strength in you. And last, John Newton wrote, "I am persuaded that love and humility are the highest attainments in the school of Christ and the brightest evidences that He is indeed our Master." God, we need you to be the church, to love and accept and next hymn, "I Am Thine, Lord." Fanny Crosby wrote this hymn. She was an author of over 8,500 gospel hymns. She was writing at the age of 6 when she became blind. This particular song right here, she was in a conversation with the man who put music to these words, and he were just talking about the nearness of God and what that meant. And she was so moved as she went to bed. She got out her pen and her paper and she wrote this song. So may you stand for this song. Theirs.